السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا. Welcome to Radio Islam International. Inshallah, this is the panel discussion with myself, and inshallah joining us on the line is Mawlana Yusuf Seda and Ma Ahmed Akku. Inshallah will join us a little bit further on. As we know, tomorrow inshallah is the 1st of May, also being a national public holiday. And if we look at its origins, it has origins within the historic struggle of workers to secure, you know, just work and environment through mass mobilization, securing adequate legal protection and rights that many of us enjoy today. And this morning, inshallah, we on the panel discussion, we are going to look at some of the employer-employee relations, and our guests will elaborate a little bit further, inshallah. With us on the line currently, we have Mawlana Yusuf Ma. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mawlana, how are you keeping this morning?
Alhamdulillah.
Now many people enjoying the long weekend, and you know, many people just relaxing and taking it easy, Mawlana. So tomorrow being Workers' Day, many of the workers also taking a little bit of a break, inshallah.
Gee, alhamdulillah, it's a wonderful break. I think everybody has been enjoying, looking forward to this break and enjoying this wonderful free time, alhamdulillah.
Yes, indeed, Mawlana. Mawlana, we begin the panel discussion, inshallah, and, you know, looking at tomorrow being Workers' Day, and we're speaking on Workers' Day and working. Let us start off with the first thing that, you know, our deen teaches us, to place our reliance in Allah. So, will a person be considered to have higher levels of tawakkul if he does not work and relies on Allah to provide for him from the unseen?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem, amma ba'd. Tawakkul is one of the very, very important teachings of the Quran al-Kareem, and we find in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is one of the important concepts for every believer, believing men and believing women, that we have to have in our lives. So tawakkul. So the important question, as Hazrat Mawlana has mentioned, is that now, what is tawakkul exactly? According to the Quran al-Kareem, according to the Sunnah and the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to our Salaf, our pious predecessors, what is the concept of tawakkul? What does tawakkul mean? Does tawakkul mean, as it has been mentioned, that now a person puts his trust, he puts his reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely? So does that mean that he does not have to work? He does not have to employ any means in the earning of his livelihood, in the earning of his provision, in the earning of his rozi? Does it mean that he must just sit back and everything will come to him and everything will happen? So this is a very, very important concept in the life of every believer. So we find that this tawakkul is mentioned frequently in the Quran al-Kareem. The word Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us and commanded us, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that the people that are mu'mineen, the people that are believers, they should put their trust. So it means we put our complete and whole reliance and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you look at the hadith, it is mentioned from Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you only relied on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a true reliance, He would provide sustenance for you just as He does for the birds. They fly out in the morning empty, their bellies are empty, and they return in the afternoon with full stomachs. So this hadith is mentioned by Imam Ahmad, Imam Nasa'i, and Imam Tirmizi. It is a sahih hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is actually teaching us the correct meaning and the authentic meaning of reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, What does it mean? So according to this hadith, you can find that now reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the most important causes of getting sustenance in this life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Quran al-Kareem, it comes in Surah Talaq, in the 28th para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَمَنْ يَتَّكِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, that whosoever fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as he ought to be feared, then Allah ta'ala will make a way out for him, meaning from every difficulty, from every distress. وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for that person from unseen sources. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ, and whosoever trusts in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is sufficient for that person. فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ, Like how we say the important saying of the Quran al-Kareem, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah is sufficient for us, and Allah is the best of protectors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of guardians. So, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَزْبُهُ. So whosoever puts his trust and reliance in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is sufficient for that person. Allah will suffice for all that person's needs. So we find, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِهِ قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا. Allah ta'ala will make his decree carry on, fulfill his decree. قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed a decree for every single thing. So this is a very, very important verse from the Quran al-Kareem. It is mentioned in Surah Talaq right at the beginning in verse number 2 and 3. And this is a verse that every believer, we should learn this verse, we should memorize this verse, we should make an effort to understand the meaning of this verse, and daily we should recite this verse as a means of making our, renewing our pledge and our covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we place our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we place our reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we acknowledge that we are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we acknowledge that everything is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So daily, you need to recite this verse. It is a great boon, a great gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, each and every ayah, each and every verse from the Quran al-Kareem. And this particular verse is very, very important when it comes to tawakkul. So, tawakkul is a vital concept in the life of every believer. So this verse, inshallah, if we memorize this verse and we recite this verse, so we are actually renewing the pledge of tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we recite this verse with meaning, with tadabbur, with contemplation, with reflecting on the meaning, then inshallah it will have a tremendous effect on our lives, on our daily life. So reliance, as it is mentioned in this hadith, it does not mean that a person does not work and a person does not have to strive for his sustenance and for his rozi. So in this hadith, there is no support. This hadith cannot be used as support that a person will resign from work, a person will sit at home or not exert himself. On the contrary, we said the hadith actually supports working and seeking earnings. This is because the bird, when it flies out in the morning, it does so in pursuit of its sustenance. And so the meaning, and Allah Ta'ala knows this, is that if they were to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while setting out and while returning and when interacting, and believe during all of that that all good is in the hands of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and only comes from Him, they would never set out in the state of health and success like the birds who set out hungry and return full. If, however, they rely on their own strengths and abilities and then engage in deception, lying and shirk, this is opposite to reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So tawakkul, true reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is actually the true reliance of the heart on Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in the pursuit of acquiring that which benefits and avoiding that which harms us in this life and the year after, and leaving these issues to Allah ta'ala with the belief that no one gives, no one withholds, no one harms, or no one benefits except Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala ordered us to rely on Him. Allah Ta'ala ordered us to strive for our objectives in the Quran al-Kareem. It has been mentioned very, very clearly, وَعَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ, that prepare for them, that is against the enemies of Islam, prepare for them to the best of your ability as much as you are capable. So it means that we have to strive. We have to make an effort. We have to rely on Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And then also in the famous, in Surah Al-Jumu'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions very, very clearly that فَإِذَا قَدَيْتُمُ الصَّلَاةَ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَبَتَهُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ, that when the Friday, when the Jumu'ah prayer is completed and finished, then go forth in the land and seek from the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remember Allah ta'ala much so that perhaps you may be successful. So this is now the true meaning of having tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why you find one of the Salaf has said that whosoever criticizes action and work for the sake of earning has criticized the sunnah, and whosoever criticizes reliance on Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has criticized belief. So reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the state of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had true total reliance on Allah. He had tawakkul on Allah. All the different trials and tribulations, the different halat and conditions that came over Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout his life, but at every stage no matter how weak, no matter how downtrodden Nabi sallallahu, no matter how oppressed he was, at every juncture, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had total reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knew that the help of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will be with him. He knew that the nusrat and the aid of Allah will be with him. He knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him victory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to his aid and assistance. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had that belief, had that yaqeen, he had that conviction. So this now reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the state of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the most complete degree. And working and earning was the sunnah. That was the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whosoever aspires to this state, you want to achieve the state that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had total tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot neglect the sunnah, the teaching of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the practice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what is the practice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That a person should work, a person should earn, a person should strive to achieve the good things of this world, so that you can enjoy the blessings and the favors and the bounties and the boons of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world and in the year after. So this is actually a very, very clear distinction now. One is the condition, the state of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one is the actual sunnah and the practical teaching and the method of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned in the hadith that Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, some people from Yemen, they used to come for Hajj without bringing any provision. But then, when they would come to Makkah al-Mukarramah, they would now ask the people for help, because they had no food, they had no provisions, they had no money, so they would ask the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah for help. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Quran al-Kareem, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ زَادُ التَّقْوَى, that you should take provision, and the best of provision is taqwa. So we learn from this that we have to make effort, we have to strive, and finally, we find the fruit of tawakkul is the acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decree. That when a person has tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will strive to the best of his ability, he will make an effort, he will strive, he will work hard, he will try to achieve that which is lawful in a lawful manner. And what is the benefit of this? The fruit of this tawakkul is the acceptance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's decree. That person, that mu'min and mu'mina will be totally happy and accept. He will achieve the state of ridha and happiness and acceptance in the decree and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whosoever leaves his affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he is acceptance of what he is given by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then he has truly relied on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is why some of the salaf, the pious predecessors, they have actually defined tawakkul as ridha, acceptance, and to be pleased with every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So once again, to reiterate, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, and this is the believer should have total and true trust and reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from the hadith and the Quran, we find that this is the meaning of Allah, this is the meaning of the ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we learn from the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that true tawakkul means that we employ the means, we need to strive, we need to work, but at the same time, we hand over our affairs totally to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us with this true tawakkul in our life.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with us on the line currently also, we have Mula Ahmed. Mula, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, Mulana, and to Mulana Yusuf as well.
Mulana, jazakallah for joining us this morning. Mulana, we move on with our questions, inshallah. And we look at the virtue. What is the virtue and the reward for a person who goes out seeking halal sustenance?
Nahmadu wa nusalli ala rasulil kareem. Amma ba'd, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Peace and salutations be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected listeners, first and foremost, I think we need to congratulate Radio Islam, mashallah, for always bringing out such wonderful topics which are of benefit to the ummah. When it comes to the virtues and the rewards for a person who goes out and to seek a halal sustenance and to make effort and also placing their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find many narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, ma akala ahadun ta'aman qattun خيرا من أن يأكل من عمل يده. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that no person consumes anything better than him making effort with his hands, earning some money or whatever it is, and through his effort he earns his sustenance. No person consumes better food than the one who goes out and makes effort with his own hands to earn something. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the great Prophet of Allah, Dawud alayhi salam, would also consume that which he had earned from his own effort. And also with the Mawlana Yusuf had very wonderfully outlined the reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coupled with effort. And he said this was part of the sunnah. Definitely it was part of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But also the other anbiya that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent into the world, they had gone out and they had earned and they had made effort, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being the provider of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken care of their needs. Then we look at how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had raised the rank of all traders to such an extent that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "At-tajiru as-saduqul amin ma'a an-nabiyyin was-siddiqin wash-shuhada." That the trader who is truthful and trustworthy in his dealings and his affairs and does not do anything contrary to the dictates of Sharia when earning his sustenance, and that wealth brings him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that person will be raised on the day of Qiyamah with the Anbiya, with the Shuhada, with the Salihin. Now imagine the rank and honor of a person earning and also keeping in mind the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and only dealing or indulging in that in a manner which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just by virtue of that effort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant that person the honor of being in the company of the prophets on the day of Qiyamah. The day of Qiyamah being such a difficult day for humanity, for every single individual, but that person who had made an effort according to the Quran and Sunnah and always kept in mind the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their earnings and in their dealings, that person will have the honor of enjoying close proximity to the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the shuhada, etc. And then there's another wonderful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which states that any person who possesses three qualities will enter Jannah. And what are those three qualities? Man akala tayyiba. The one who consumes that which is pure, and by you consuming that which is pure, meaning that you also earned that which was permissible and that which was blessed and full of barakah. So the one who consumes that which is pure and his actions are in according to the sunnah. وَأَمِنَ النَّاسَ بَوَائِقَهُ, and people are saved from his harm, دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ, that person will enter Jannah. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had further advised that, and look at the dua. Remember, we all know the value of the dua of a Muslim for another Muslim. Then you have a higher level, that is the dua of the pious, the sulaha, the ulama. We value their dua. When a pious person makes dua for you, we know how valuable the dua is. Many times we request our scholars, we request our shuyukh, we request our seniors to make dua for us because we know that there's great value in that dua. Now imagine the dua of the greatest of all, the most pious of all, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how valuable that dua will be for each and every individual. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a special dua and he said, Rahimallahu rajulan, may Allah's mercy shower upon that individual, samhan idha ba'a wa idha ishtara wa idha iqtada. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy be showered upon that individual who's fair and just when he's buying, fair and just when he's selling, and when he's concluding a deal. Now imagine that. That is for every single trader to come right up to the day of Qiyamah. You have the chance or the ability to earn this dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your favor. You are part of that dua. Every single person indulging in commerce and trade, whether it be from the smallest level up to the highest level, you have an opportunity to be part of this dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But look at how profound these words were, that it was not confined only to buying, neither was it confined only to selling, neither was it confined to concluding the deal. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam included all three. So it's everybody, the one at the till point, the one at the top, running the business, the consumer, everybody was included in this wonderful dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what was the word? Rahim. رحم الله. May Allah's mercy be showering upon that individual. If you earn this one dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's not much more any person might need in the existence in this world, because they've earned the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Yes, indeed, Mulana. And, you know, looking at this, subhanAllah, earning the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there can be nothing more important than this year, there can be nothing greater than achieving this year. Mulana Yusuf, we look at, you know, in our community, have we as a community failed in fulfilling these responsibilities, you know, looking at the people within the community as helping those who are less privileged and underprivileged, and, you know, giving them wealth in the, to empower them?
Jim, it's a very important question. It's a very, very pertinent question. And I think right at the outset, I think we are failing, we are lacking in this regard, in this aspect. And that is why we find that there's a great disparity in our society. And because of this, there's a lot of uneasiness, there's a lot of now distrust among the people, there's a lot of unhappiness that is brewing among the people, and it goes down to the fact that now, boils down to the fact that we are not fulfilling the rights of one another. That as the rights of people have been enshrined, human rights have been enshrined in Islam, in the Sharia, in the Quran al-Kareem, in the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we, because of the fact that we are not practicing as we ought to upon the teachings of the glorious Quran al-Kareem, upon the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon the teachings of Islam as it ought to be, that is why we find that this great now problem has come about in society. So we find that in the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'oolun an ra'iyatihi. So this wonderful hadith that carries on. So in this hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has ordained every individual in society to perform his duties within his sphere. So every individual falls within the ambit of this hadith, subhanAllah. So every person has been made responsible to reform the state of affairs in his control. So this will apply to the employer. It will apply to the employee. We must remember that in society, if we find that there is a very, we find the high class, we find the rich, the rich class, and then you find that there is the poor class, and there's no in between, the middle class, then you find there will be great now, there will be great discord in that society, because there must be a healthy, for a healthy society, there must be a healthy middle class. There must not be such a great gap between the haves and the have-nots. So that society will have a problem. So basically, this is something that we really need to look at too. So in this hadith, you find that now every person has been made responsible to reform the state of affairs in his control and establish equity and justice. So every person needs to establish equity and justice. So if it is the employer, he will keep this golden rule in front of him that I must establish equity, I must be just, I must be kind, I must be compassionate, how should I conduct myself according to the teachings of the glorious Quran, how should I conduct myself according to the teachings of the noble Sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the employee at the same time will also keep this in mind, that how can I establish equity and justice in what I am doing, that I am serving, I am working as an employee, right, in this company for this person or for this company or whatever it may be. How can I establish equity and justice in what I do? How can I fulfill my responsibility to the best of my ability? So this now, because every person, so the employer will understand that I will be held responsible by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those people that are within my control. And the employee will also have this belief firmly embedded in his heart that I will be held responsible by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for any negligence on his part. So obviously now, as Muslims, we find that we are lacking greatly in fulfilling the rights of one another. and fulfilling the rights of the employers, fulfilling the rights of the employees. There's great now inequality that we find in society. People are being treated unfairly, people are being treated dishonestly. So because of this, there's a lot of now untrust, there's a lot of mistrust, there's a lot of unhappiness that we find in society, and this is actually now due to our lacking and due to our shortfall that we find that now so this is so important that if we now we need to practice upon the Sunnah, the teaching of Islam, and fulfill the rights of one and all, then we find that there will be justice, there will be peace, there will be happiness. Every aspect and every part of the community, everybody will be happy because everybody's rights are being fulfilled. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding.
Yes, indeed, Mulana. And Mulana Ahmed, as Muslims, you know, we live in a as part of a community, and within the community there are these different categories, as we were discussing. You know, some are wealthy, Allah has blessed them and granted them with wealth, and some of them are less privileged, some people are less privileged, they cannot afford that which others have. What are the duties of those who have wealth to those who do not?
Well, I think first and foremost, the duty of those who have wealth and those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has privileged and raised them to a certain degree when it comes to their financial standing, I think it's important that we take a step back and we ask ourselves a very important question. And that question is, how is it that we have been favored over others, or why is it that we have been favored a little more when it comes to material aspects, when it comes to financial well-being and financial status? Ask yourself the question, why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me over and above my needs? And where will we find the answer for this question? The answer for this question will be found in the amazing words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said in one narration that inna lillahi ibadan ikhtassahum bin ni'am, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has certain slaves in this world, ikhtassahum bin ni'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored them tremendously with certain abilities, with certain capabilities. For example, financial well-being, a person's needs are a certain amount, Allah has given him 100 times more than his needs. So Allah has certain slaves that Allah has favored with certain abilities, say a certain capabilities. But why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that the reason why Allah has given them so much and Allah has favored them is because the benefits of others are contained in this ability or this financial well-being that Allah has given someone else. There's other people's benefit that has been kept there, and Allah sustains this excess and this ability within that certain individual. يُقِرُّهُمْ فِيهَا مَا بَذَلُوهَا. Allah keeps you financially well off as long as you are assisting and you're fulfilling the purpose for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you that extra. Look at the Quran, Allah says, وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقُّ لِسَائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. In their wealth, that means in the wealth of those that are well off, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with a lot, حَقٌ لِسَائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ are the rights for those who have been deprived and those that are in need. So everybody has a share in the extra that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given certain individuals. Another verse of the Quran, Allah tells us that نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًّا. Allah tells us that we have distributed their livelihood in the worldly life. Meaning, even though many a times we might feel that it's due to my intelligence and I've worked very hard and I'm extremely fortunate, or I was born into this wealth, or I inherited it, whatever the case might be in our minds, but Allah very clearly states that we have distributed their livelihood. So the one that's a multimillionaire and that's dealing in huge sums and figures at all times, it's not your ability, it's not your know-how. That is the divine distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also the beauty of this verse is it conscientizes everyone. So even the one that's not so well off, he shouldn't feel bad that is there something wrong with me? Is there something wrong with my efforts? No. You're doing a brilliant job making the effort that you're making. But the distribution is in the hands of the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not your fault or it's not your lack of effort. No, absolutely not. Neither for the one that has so much, it's not because of his brilliance and his ability. and his know-how. This is the divine distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah says, وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ. We have raised others over others. We've given them a little more over the others. وَلِيَتَّقِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًا. So that all may take benefit from each other. So the responsibility and the duties of those who have extra is that we need to ask ourselves, are we fulfilling the purpose for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so much more? Are we really an asset to those people who are less privileged than us? For example, in the workplace, our workers, do we treat them as people who Allah has given us the ability to be of benefit to somebody else? Or do we treat them as liabilities or as, you know, we doing them a favor? These are questions that we need to ask ourselves, and at all times we need to ensure that we are fulfilling our duty for the purpose that Allah has given us extra. Because if you're not fulfilling that duty, then there's also a fear and a danger. Life is absolutely unpredictable. When we look at the marketplace, for example, and you look at history, 20 years ago somebody might have been a worker, today they are a boss. And when we look at it today, 20 years ago somebody might have been the boss, today they the worker. The workplace is an environment that is constantly changing. Wealth does not stay in one place all the time, because it belongs to Allah, and the divine distribution is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's something that's constantly moving around. The wealthy of yesterday are perhaps not necessarily the wealthy of today, and the wealthy of today are not necessarily they're going to be the wealthy of tomorrow, even though we also make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to favor us in the manner which He has favored the Ummah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the wealth of each and every person and grant everyone immense barakah in their lives.
Yes, indeed. Ma, a little bit further on, you know, we look at the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you look at the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the pious predecessors. Ma Ahmad, perhaps you can enlighten us a little further with regards to the narrations of the phenomenal stories with regards to the employer-employee relations and the manner that they would behave with one another.
I think this program is a bit short for such a broad question, but just to try and touch on it a little, it starts from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, the practical demonstration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the glory era of the days of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the days of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They had interacted with many people on different levels. They had slaves, they had workers, they had everything, but the manner in which they dealt with each other was absolutely amazing and outstanding. When we look into the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his relationship with those people that had served him. Now look at the testimony of Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, where he said that khadamtu Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam 10 sinin. I worked for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a period of 10 years. And he said, فَمَا قَالَ لِي أُفٍّ قَطُّ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never ever rebuked me in 10 years of service. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never questioned my decision. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never ever shouted at me, never ever took off with me, was never vulgar with me in 10 years of service to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that alone speaks volumes of what type of character the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always displayed with those people, with all the people, and especially with those that had served the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another youngster in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that was not even part of the faith of Islam. He was a Jewish youngster that had served the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This youngster had fallen ill and was seriously ill. He was on his deathbed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it came to his attention that this young boy is very sick. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the time out to go and visit this youngster in his home. If that's not paying tribute to a person's services, and that's not demonstrating the best of character. Now, okay, let's also look at it from a practical sense. Sometimes we might employ a huge complement of staff. Maybe it runs into the hundreds, so it might be difficult to practice upon this action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But at least we should know who's working for us and always try and acknowledge their efforts. That is what we learn from the relationship of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to those people who had served him, and even the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They had learned this brilliant akhlaq and character from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in a like manner, they dealt with one another to the best of their abilities. You know, the level of of consideration and love that they had displayed when dealing with one another, and even when serving one another. Because the other amazing thing is, when we look at many of the relationships that have existed in amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it was more a sense of sometimes their slaves, you know, people who they had owned. That time it was the time of slavery. Now when we look at it in our times, you have so much more rights that you can demand over a slave than you can ever demand from a worker and from an employee. It's not something that can be likened exactly, because there's a huge difference between the two, between having a slave and having an employee. But if the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam displayed the highest level of akhlaq, the highest level of tolerance, consideration, love and understanding with people that they had owned, with their slaves, so then how much more the demand would definitely be needed and necessary when it's your employee, a person who you don't have so much of rights over that you can demand, as opposed to a slave. So this the examples are many, many, but we cited the one of Anas radiallahu anhu, his period that he had served the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what was his testimony. Now we look at that example and then we come back to our lives. I have five people working for me, or I have six people that I have authority over. Can any one of those ever give a testimony close to that of Anas radiallahu anhu? Or if they had to be requested to give a testimony, how will we fare in that testimony? What would my workers say about me? That is, I think, more important for us to ask ourselves. That if anybody in my business had to be questioned, that tell me, I want to know about your boss. Be open and tell me the truth from the bottom of your heart. Are we confident enough that we've treated people so well according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we have nothing to fear? Or is it that we would be absolutely ashamed by the testimony and we would have something to worry about?
Yes, indeed, Mala. Mala, we have to go for a short break. My engineer is signaling that we have to go for a short break. And after the news break, inshallah, we shall return, Mala. Now, we go for a short break, inshallah. And after the break, we'll begin again with Ma Yusuf speaking on how we build a type of relationship with our workers, inshallah. For now, we go for the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, welcome back. As we are discussing with regards to tomorrow being Workers' Day, and we are discussing some of the, you know, the rules and regulations, and also the ahadith with regards to our responsibilities towards our workers and employees. With us on the line, as usual, we have Mawlana Yusuf Seda and we have Mawlana Ahmed Akko. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa
rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mawlana, we begin with the second session of our panel discussion. And Mawlana Yusuf, inshallah, we'll begin with you, inshallah, to begin the second part of the program. Can you briefly explain to us the rights of an employer?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said regarding Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that O Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have sent you only as a mercy unto all the worlds. So it has been said by the scholars, كِلَ لِجَمِيعِ الْخَلْقِ, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a mercy personified for all of creation. For all, so it applies to the human beings, it applies to the jinn, it applies to every, to the animal kingdom, to all the creation and all the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you find that regarding our duties as human beings, regarding human rights, regarding our rights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enshrined for the employer, for the employee, as human rights that we have enjoined upon one another, every concrete example has been given to us in this beautiful deen, in this beautiful deen of ours. So, alhamdulillah, we find that the rights of employers, are many. So, from them, we find that one of the main things, obviously, is amana. That now the right of the employee to amana, that trustworthiness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَأَحْدِهِمْ رَعُونَ, that the true believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the believers in this wonderful in Surah Al-Mu'minun, which begins right from the beginning, 10 to 12 verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the various qualities of the true believers. And right at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَأَهْدِهِمْ رَاؤُونَ. That this will apply both to the employers and to the employees. The true believers are those who are keepers of their trust and covenants. So subhanAllah. So if you look at the word trust, it will include the duties and the other things with which an employee is entrusted by his employer. So the employee has been entrusted with his duty. He's got other duties, he's got other things that he must do. He must fulfill certain responsibility that he has been given, certain work that he has. That is his trust. So he will try to the best of his ability to fulfill his trust. And covenant includes the contract by which the employer and the employee are bound. So now the employer will also try to fulfill his part of the contract, and the employee are those who will fulfill his part of the contract. So both of them are bound, both of them are responsible to one another. So the employer must fulfill his part of the contract, and the employee must fulfill his part of the contract. So now we find that this is now something very, very important. It is mentioned also in the Quran al-Kareem, it is mentioned in the Hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, there are three persons whose opponents I shall be on the day of judgment, and the third one is from that, the person who employs a servant and receives fully the labor due from him, but does not pay his wages. So now we find that now, obviously, that person will be held responsible by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one is amana, that now the trust. So the person discharges his duty with commitment, with proficiency, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned in many various verses, as I mentioned, awfu bil uqood, in the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also said, whosoever does any work, Allah ta'ala wishes him to give it perfection and grace. So now it will find that now the employee obviously cannot be killing time, he cannot be wasting time, neglecting his or her duty, poor performance. These are all tantamount to a breach of trust. So the employee basically is entitled to loyalty, that his worker will be very loyal to him. And his worker, the employee, will be sincere, will be full of sincerity. He will have the sense of responsibility regarding his work. He will have a sense of honesty regarding his work. He will have the sense of proficiency regarding his work. That person will obviously be proficient in his work, and will try to the best of his ability, to the utmost of his ability, to carry out his work. And responsibility regarding his time, responsibility regarding the manner in which he does it, he will be loyal. So we find that in the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La imana liman la ahdana, that person who does not fulfill the trust, who does not have any sense of trust and fulfilling the trust, then that person actually is deficient in their iman, and their iman is very, very weak. So we find from these beautiful teachings of the Quran al-Kareem and the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find great inspiration and guidance for employees, and we find the rights of employers has also been very, very clearly mentioned, highlighted, and also what are the rights and the duties of the employees.
Yes, indeed, Mullah. You know, looking at all of this here, how the employees should react and treat their employers and their employment, how serious it is, and how they should respect that which has been the rules that have been laid down for them. Ma Ahmad, with regards to the employee, what are the rights of the employee?
The rights of the employee, some of them I have been touched on, mashallah, by our senior Mawlana Yusuf Shah. But if we look at one quotation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's amazing how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed the relationship between an employer and employee. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Hum ikhwanukum," that these individuals are your brothers. Consider them like your brothers. Ja'alahullahu tahta aydikum. Allah has put them under your service and under your care. فَمَنْ كَانَ أَخُوهُ تَحْتَ يَدِهِ. So the one whose brother is under his service. Now if you look at the words, that the beautiful words that the Prophet ﷺ had chosen, to highlight what is the position of an employee, he used the word your brother, and he said the one whose brother is under his care. So let's just analyze these words alone. If my brother had to be under employment by me, I had to employ my brother, my blood brother. But I think we need to speak about this more in the ideal world, because the world that we're living in right now, sometimes even if it's my brother that's working for me, I still, Allah forbid, unfortunately, due to the circumstances that we face, a person will usurp the rights of his own flesh and blood, unfortunately. But we're talking about in the ideal sense. If a person's brother is under his service, we know how we will treat our brother. It's our flesh and blood. We'll ensure that we do the best that we can. So among the rights of the employee is that, number one, the one who is the boss needs to be just and fair to their workers at all times. Justness and to be fair. Never be unjust to our employees. That's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not take very lightly, if we can put it that way. And it is also their right that they be paid well. You know, there's so many quotations that you come across when you look at this subject. They say that a job should lift workers out of poverty, not keep them in it. The purpose of a job and a person taking up employment is to lift that person out of poverty, not to keep them in it. And it is the right of the employee that they be paid well for their services, and obviously they be paid on time. But more important than that, among the rights of an employee is that they be respected and they be valued. Nobody likes to be disrespected in any way whatsoever. And one of the common problems that we come across when it comes to this issue of employer-employee relationship is that the lack of value. It's like you're just a number. You're part of the commodities of that business. No, we really need to value human capital. It's not about hiring and firing. You know, sometimes the ego tends to get the better of us, and we feel that we can do it all and we know it all and we're running the whole show and we're giving people an opportunity. It's all about we. We get so full of ourselves that we can't see anything past that. It's more important that we always value our staff, every one of them. The one doing the minutest of tasks to the one really running the whole show, because that is the reality. Many a times we feel that we're the boss, but actually what are we doing? Without the element of human capital, it's impossible for us to run that empire. It's impossible for that business to function. So many a times the boss might get upset and he'll feel that, you know what, I can do everything myself. Marv, you can't do everything yourself. You can't be answering the phone and doing all the tasks yourself. It's absolutely impossible. That is why Allah, through His mercy, for you to sustain the business that you are running, Allah gave you so many people for you to assist you in your business prospering. So valuing of staff is something which is fundamental, and it is the golden rule of success for any company, any business, whether it's big, whether it's small. These are simple things. If they are implemented, then we will definitely see the benefits of it. But in a nutshell, these are just few of the rights of the employee that we need to remind ourselves of, that to be just and fair with them at all times. You cannot usurp their rights. These people do not belong to us. We cannot oppress people, whether it be verbally, whether it be physically, whatever it is. We cannot make people feel worthless. And because they are desperate and they don't have much options at their disposal, many a times employees tend to swallow a lot from their bosses. But remember, they keep in silent, but Allah is Sami', Allah is Basir, Allah is constantly hearing, Allah is recording, Allah is watching, and one day we have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they need to be paid well, they need to be respected, and more importantly, they need to be valued.
Yes, indeed, Muna. Subhanallah, you know, looking at how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed and, you know, taught us how to look after the employees and how to treat them. Even we see that Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'een, when, you know, they were interacting with their slaves and with their servants, how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught them and showed them how to treat their slaves and how to treat them with equality, how to treat them in the correct manner. We look at many a times, you know, we see that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam many a times gave, you know, a warning in the ahadith. We look at the ahadith, we see many warnings from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to ill-treating and not fulfilling the rights of our workers. Now, Yusuf, perhaps you can elaborate further on regards with these warnings that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sounded with regards to the employees.
Indeed. It is mentioned by Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. She mentions a beautiful hadith, and she says that the Messenger of Allah Ta'ala never sought revenge for himself. he never hit anyone with his hand. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never sought revenge for himself. He never hit anyone with his hand physically, whether it was a worker, whether it was a slave, neither a woman nor a servant. SubhanAllah. So that was now the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, neither, he never hit any woman, right? That's very, very important also from the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A servant, a person that was a subordinate, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not cruel, Allah forbid, did not ill-treat, did not abuse anybody in any way whatsoever. Unless while fighting in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So unless it was now in jihad, unless it was for the cause, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he was harmed in regard to his person, then he never sought revenge. He never sought revenge from the one that had harmed him. So that was now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he was harmed personally regarding himself, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not seek revenge for himself. It was, if that harm was caused to himself personally, unless it was one of the sanctities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were violated, then we find that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would establish justice with that person, would take that person to task, and would now deliver the required punishment, an appropriate punishment that was now due and deserving at that time. So we find that this beautiful teaching, the noble akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is mentioned that once there was an argument between Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So both these are great companions of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But they are of the highest caliber, they are of the senior sahaba, but obviously they were human beings. And once there was an argument, there was some discussion, an argument between Abu Zar and Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. So Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala anhu became angry, and he said to Bilal, he said him something in a derogatory manner. He said something to him. So thereafter, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went directly to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he complained to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the behavior, about the treatment that he was meted out to him by his fellow brother and companion, and that was Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately called Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he asked him, did you insult Bilal? So Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the sahaba were very akalluhum takallufan, they were very, very candid, they were very straightforward. So he replied that yes. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately told him and rectified him that you are a person, you are a man, that within you are the traits of pre-Islamic ignorance of the time of Jahiliyyah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then taught him the manner in which he should deal with those who may be seen to be below his social status. So this is now something very, very important. We find that the noble teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding how the respect, the honor, the dignity that we should now give to every human being, we should keep in mind the rights and the duties of each and every person, and try to fulfill the best of our. We should remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us about what we are supposed to do, about our duties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to ask us about the duties of another person upon us. So what is our duty? What is our responsibility? What we have to do? We should now focus on that. We should not now fight for rights, and we make a clamor, and we join the bandwagon, and we want to clamor and fight for the rights of everything else. But rather we should find that what is my duty? What is my responsibility? That if I am in the position of an employer, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me this responsibility. What do I need to be doing? If I am an employee, what do I need to be doing to fulfill my responsibility to my employer and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that I can earn great reward in this world and in the hereafter?
Yes, indeed, Mana. You know, looking at these warnings, these are very severe warnings. These are warnings that we should take heed of. And we should try and practice upon the commands of Allah and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to be successful, as we will be questioned on the day of Qiyamah with regards to the fulfillment of these rights towards our employees, as well as the employees will be questioned with regards to the fulfillment of the rights towards the employer. With regards to many a times we see that, you know, whilst, you know, reprimanding, sometimes, you know, a warning has to be sounded out to the employees due to them being lazy or not doing their work properly. As an employer, what is the correct manner to address this sort of situation? You know, Mana Ahmad, many a times we hear people using vulgar language towards employees. And sometimes, you know, you really wonder that some people say this man swears like a sailor. And sometimes it's even worse than that day. So what is the correct manner to address this sort of situation when employees are being lazy or they are not doing their work correctly?
I think this is a very important aspect that we're touching on right now. And when we look at the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has advised that when you speak to mankind, we need to speak to them in the best possible manner. And when it comes to this aspect of vulgarity and swearing words and the use of terrible language, especially when it comes to people that are beneath us, then this is totally unbecoming of a Muslim. You know, they say that words and hearts should always be handled with care, because when words are spoken and hearts are broken, then these are the most difficult things to ever repair. Now, we take advantage of our authority, we take advantage of the position that we are in, but stop for a moment and reflect that how would we like people to treat us? How would we like people to address our faults when we do something wrong? How we, the same way that we would like people to deal with us, we have to deal with others. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. A person's iman cannot be complete until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. So we want people to be tolerant and overlook our faults. We want people to address us with respect and honor. Obviously, we have to do the same. Now, when it comes to the environment of the workplace, sometimes we need to reprimand, sometimes we need to put law and order in place, and sometimes we have a right to vocalize ourselves that we're upset or something has gone wrong. Yes, you have a right to address it, and we have a right to reprimand, but how it's done, that makes a world of difference. Unfortunately, what has become the norm and what tends to be prevalent in many places is we over-exercise our authority and we take advantage of the situation. So one thing is done wrong, and here we do another 10 further wrongs by the way and the manner in which we address the situation. So nobody's saying that a workplace should be a free rein for people to do what they want, when they want, and we can't say anything, and we have no right to reprimand, and we have no right to keep order in place. No, you have all that right. You're the Amir. Allah has placed you as the one in charge. You need to do it in the manner that is befitting of a Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam many a times addressed issues with regards to the companions when problems were brought forward to him. When perhaps things were going out of line, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought it back into place. But once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's makeup of his character, even in the previous scriptures, was that he was not a person that would ever use bad language or vulgar language or anything of that sort. He was not even a person that was known to raise his voice and to shout. So yet he did reprimand, yet he did put order into place, and he did correct wrongs. At so many occasions the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had done that, but how it was done, that was the amazing part. And that's what we need to do. We cannot continue making excuses for ourselves that I've got a short fuse. You know, we're having this program now, Maulana, which is the 3rd of Sha'ban. We have Ramadan around the corner. We know what happens in the month of Ramadan, the month of peace, the month of Allah's blessing, the month of how we view it as the month of short fuses. So because people are fasting, they say, no, don't come near me. You know, I can't have my smoke or whatever it is in the month of Ramadan, so please stay clear of me. It's a month of peace. We make it a month of almost like war. Nobody must come in your close proximity to you because you're going to explode. No, that's your problem. We need to seek help. There's so many avenues that we can seek help from, and it's not below our dignity. If you have anger issues and you're having anger management problems, go out there and seek help. Acknowledge firstly that I do have a problem. Not this is the way I am and that's the way I deal and I operate. You like it or you lump it. No, definitely not. We must get over ourselves. and look at the broader picture. So this aspect of verbal abuse is something very, very, very serious. It's a major sin. We are hurting the feelings of another Muslim, which is something which is totally unacceptable. And even if we do that wrong, we must be man enough to go and apologize. Firstly, it shouldn't be done at all. But again, this is another aspect. You know, we're moving in sequence. Go and apologize. You had a bad day. Why are you taking out on your staff? There's many people, they can't say much at home, so they capitalize at the workplace. That's where they go full. You know, they cover up for whatever they couldn't say at home. Now they come at the workplace and one thing must go wrong and you let the person have it. No, it shouldn't be that way. You can't verbally abuse anybody in your home. You can't verbally abuse anybody in the workplace. May Allah grant us understanding.
Maa Yusuf, as an employee, what qualities are needed to ensure that an employee secures his job and make sure that he does not lose his job in any manner?
You know, the qualities of an employee, I think previously we had touched upon this, the qualities of an employee, basically that now the employee must have the sense of responsibility towards his employer, that he, Allah Ta'ala has ordained, he has undergone a contract with his employer that he will fulfill a certain duty, responsibility. So he must be very, very careful of his responsibility and fulfill his responsibility to the best of his ability. Then we find the next quality will be obviously, honestly, we find in the story of Musa alayhi salam, innahu lakawiyun amin, that it is mentioned that Musa alayhi salam, that this person should be employed by the advice and recommendation given by the daughter of Shu'aib alayhi salam to her father. And she said that he is very, very strong and he is very trustworthy. So honesty, trustworthiness, that the employee should have these qualities, and obviously they need to be highly proficient in whatever work they are doing. They are capable of doing that work, because then that will be khianat of the trust. If they take some work and they do not have the ability, they do not have the capability of fulfilling that work, then obviously that will be a great disloyalty to the employer. And the person must have sincerity in whatever they do, in the manner that they do, the manner that they conduct themselves. The employee should, the quality should be very, very loyal. So this is something, a quality that you find today, a very rare quality, something a very highly regarded quality, that the employee will be loyal. He will be absolutely 100% loyal to the person that he is now employed by, and he will be fulfill his responsibility. He will be loyal. So the employer will have absolutely no fear, and he will know that this is a truly dedicated worker. So these are some of the from the many qualities of an employee. These are some of the main qualities of trustworthiness, responsibility, of proficiency, of sincerity, of being loyal. So these are qualities that now, to be hardworking, to be strong, able-bodied, etc. So these are qualities that obviously every employee and every employer will be looking for these qualities in the employees that they will hire and take on.
Yes, indeed, Mona. These are the qualities that every employee should strive to exemplify in their work, and make it part of their work ethic. Ma Ahmed, as we come to the end of this program, another aspect, you know, that we often miss, and many a times is not discussed quite often, is the treatment of our domestic workers, those that work in our houses, that, you know, some of them help out in our shops. What are the common wrongs, and how should it be rectified?
When it comes to our domestic workers, I think those that actually run our homes, well, are not necessarily work in our homes. But this is also a very important aspect, and I think among the wrongs that we find becoming common and prevalent in society is the lack of respect when it comes to our domestic workers. Sometimes these individuals are elderly individuals, they are older than us, they deserve to be respected, whether they're young or whether they're old. But sometimes it's an elderly person that's assisting us in our home, And we find the utter sense of disrespect that has become prevalent, where young children will be vulgar and will disrespect an elderly person, sometimes even in the presence of the parents that are in that home, and everybody turns a blind eye. Now, again, this is something which is totally unacceptable. It's actually such a sad situation to find ourselves in, where we find such a great level of disrespect. We look down upon these individuals, whereas we actually can't do without them. You know, this is more on a lighter note. I remember some years ago, towards the end of the year, it was the month of December, and as we were coming close to the 31st of December, there were some predictions by certain individuals in some part of the world that, you know, the world is going to come to an end. And we see that every now and then, every 5 or 10 years, these sort of far-fetched predictions come about. So somebody sent a light-hearted post, and more like a joke, and they said, actually, the 31st of December is doomsday for many a housewife, because that's when the domestic workers go on leave. So we're so dependent on these individuals, and really they render such sterling services for us and to us, and keep our homes neat and tidy, and they do all our work that is required, yet they are not respected in any way whatsoever. They are shouted at, they are sworn at. It's like as if they are absolutely nothing. Young children are vulgar towards an elderly person, and the kids think that that person is there to serve them. Now, this is absolutely unacceptable, and we as parents need to come in here very strongly. First and foremost, the reality is that children lead by example. So perhaps it's what they have seen that they are now enacting, and they taking the liberty to do it themselves. So when we employ someone, especially in our home, to assist us, that person must be given the highest level of respect. And that person's respect must be maintained at all time by every single occupant of that home. Nobody has the right to disrespect that individual. Sometimes they are, you know, things do go wrong. Maybe the abaya got burnt and it costed a lot of money, so now we're upset and we want to vent ourselves. That's just a commodity. It's something which is, you know, you can replace the feelings of a person. You break a person's heart, you make a person feel worthless. Is that something that is correct? No, definitely not. So we need to respect them, very importantly. The other common wrongs that we find prevalent in society, when it comes to our domestic workers, is remember they need to be fed well, not the leftovers of what we've eaten after lunch and what was ready to be disposed of, so now we give them a little of that. The sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the teachings of Islam would demand that when you are eating, you feed them of what you are eating. That's how it's supposed to be. That's how it should be. Now, what happens today is we have in a lavish meal. Imagine, you know, we must just think for one moment how we conduct ourselves and what these people that are working for us, how does it look through their eyes? They are sometimes paid a meager sum of money, and the one meal that we consume together as a family is sometimes more than the wages of this domestic worker. And yet that one meal, half of it will end up in the bin, all get wasted. So the lavish lifestyles that we lead, and then these people are not fed well, or they're not paid well. Now that is really, really sad for us to find ourselves in that situation. We need to ensure that they are respected. We need to ensure that they are fed well. Let them eat what you eat in, and make sure that they are paid very well. Sometimes, you know, the amount that we fill in fuel in our cars is I think sometimes 3 or 4 times more than what the domestic worker is earning. Our children spend more money than that, and yet they are earning a meager sum of money. If they have to ask for 100 rand or 200 rand increase, then we'll find this too expensive and too exorbitant, and we say, no, what they need so much money for, as it is, I'm paying them. They're lucky I'm giving them a job. No, we need, you know, we look at some of our scholars that have passed through, and I think most notably I must make mention of our late Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sabar Al Rahimahullah. What a giant he was. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him the highest of stages in Jannah. But it was revealed after he had left this world that there were so many workers or domestic workers that had passed through the home of Maulana, and almost every one of them, just by virtue of the akhlaq and the character that was displayed and the kind treatment that was displayed to these domestic workers, almost every one of them came into the fold of Islam just on the base of how they were treated. Now, we've had the workers working for us and assisting us in our homes for how many years? Have any one of them even come one step closer to Islam? Or Allah forbid, is it because of our treatment and our interaction with them, they are driven so far away that the last thing they would ever think of is becoming a Muslim? Because this man, sure, I mean, what type of people these are? So these are questions that we need to ask ourselves. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that we start to value these individuals, treat them with respect, treat them with honor, ensure that they are kept comfortable. They are not our property that we can own and dispose of when we want to and how we want to. These are individuals that have feelings, that are serving us and doing an amazing job. We know what happens when they're not there. It's very difficult for us to fend for ourselves. We, the community of South Africa, Allah forbid, we know to be lazy people. There's not much that we can do. Yet in other first world countries of the world, people don't have this privilege of people assisting them in their homes. We have this privilege, let's look after it. Allah will increase us. If we're not going to look after it, it's not a very good future that we're looking at.
Yes, indeed, Mala. Mala, as we come to the end of the program, Mala Yusuf, your closing comments with regards to this topic.
I think I will just end off with one beautiful hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is actually one of the golden principles from the golden usuls and the principles of Islam and the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, يَسِّرُوا وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا وَبَشِّرُوا وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا, that make things easy and do not make things difficult. Now imagine this one single hadith, if every individual in society were to practice on this one single hadith and we implement it in our lives, we bring it in our lives, then you find that there will be so much of peace, there will be so much of justice, there will be so much of happiness, nobody will be unhappy, nobody will complain against the next person. So if the employer were to keep this hadith in mind, that I must make things easy for my workers, I should fulfill their rights, I must fulfill my duty, my responsibility, yes, sir, make things easy. So he follows this directive of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The employee also at the same time, he thinks that I must also make it easy for my employer. I must fulfill my duty. I must not be lacking in any way whatsoever. I must fulfill my responsibility. I must fulfill my duty. I must be loyal. I must do my work. So, and then, wala tu'asiru, I should not make it difficult for my employer. And the employer also thinks I must not make life difficult for my worker. Subhanallah. So across the board, in every person, every individual of society, whether we are husbands, whether we are wives, whether we are parents, whether we are children, whether we are teachers, whether we are students, whether we are employers, whether we are employees, if we all practice on this one single hadith, subhanallah, there will be a revolution throughout the world. وَبَشِّرُوا وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا, spread glad tidings among the people, among the ummah, among humanity, among mankind. And then we find that Islam, the message of Islam will spread. Do not make things difficult. Do not make things, do not turn people's hearts away from Islam, but rather bring people closer to Islam, bring people closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bring people closer to the Quran, bring people closer to the beautiful teachings of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then we will be fulfilling our duty. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all guidance. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
Ma Yusuf, we say Jazakallahu khairan for your contribution to this program and for all the wonderful advices that you have given us.
Ameen. Jazakumullahu khairan for the opportunity.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum
assalam. Mala Ahmad, as we come to the end of the program, your closing comments on this topic.
Mala, I think one of the main problems that we find prevalent in the world today is that the common complaint is that nobody wants to do more than is expected of them. Nobody wants to go the extra mile. Nobody wants to do extra. But you know, they say that a person who feels appreciated will always do more than expected. It's a simple remedy. A person who feels appreciated will always do more than expected. Now, when it comes to this saying and this quotation, this will go across the board in every single one of our relationships and our interactions in this world, whether it be in a marriage, whether it be the workplace, anywhere. The moment a person feels appreciated, automatically we will want to do more than is expected of us. And then if I may leave the listeners with one important verse of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders that we fulfill the trust of each and every person. Everybody's rights must be fulfilled. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ. And whenever we are dealing with people, we must deal with justice at all times. We rather be just in this world. In fact, you rather err on the side of caution, and you rather give a little extra than give a little less. because tomorrow we all have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all our actions will be played before us. Now we need to ask ourselves that, is it something that we will want to view and we will be happy to view when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or is it something that we fear and we have reservations? So we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the realization that whatever position of authority we have been put in, we have been put in this position by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a reason, to do the best that we can, and we can earn multitudes of rewards for ourselves. We can basically earn Jannah in this world just by how we interact with others and how we take care of the people that Allah has put under our care and fulfill our responsibilities.
Yes, indeed, Mawlana. We say Jazakallah Khairan to you for your valuable advices and for the time that you have given and for your contribution to this program, inshallah.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it. And we also thank Radio Islam once again, mashallah. You know, tomorrow is Workers' Day. Let's take a moment to appreciate people. When was the last time we thanked the people working for us and we treated them like our real assets, that, you know what, you are part of this and I can't do without you. Make people feel appreciated. Don't treat them just as a number and feel that we have given them an opportunity. Allah gave us the opportunity, not we gave somebody else an opportunity.
Yes, indeed. Jazakallahu khairan. Mana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, and that was indeed our panel discussion on Workers' Day and the rights of the employer and the employees. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability and the tawfiq to practice upon the commands of Allah, follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us listen to these advisors. Let us try and practice upon them. Inshallah, if we practice upon such advisors and we make an effort to, you know, look at the noble lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the qualities that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted us to embed and embody in our lifestyle, inshallah, by doing this year, we shall see that we will live in a society that is free from rancor and hatred, and rather it will be a society of love and harmony, and it will be conducive for everyone to live in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability and the tawfiq to practice upon the commands of Allah and implement the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives. We come to the end of this program. From myself and my engineer brother Ismail, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.